You can feel it. You know something's not right. Not sure exactly what it is. But just look around. The uprisings. The bankruptcies. Where did all the money go? America. It's no longer a country of freedom.
There was going to be an event, and out of that event, we were going to invade Afghanistan, we were going to invade Iraq, and make it all part of the New World Order, and sure enough, later 9/11 happened, and there's going to be this war on terror, which is no real enemy, and the whole thing is a giant hoax, you know, but it's a way for the government to take over the American people. Look, this whole war on terror is a fraud. It's a farce. It's very difficult to say it out loud because people are intimidated against saying it. Because if you say it, they want to make you into a nutcase. The truth has to come out. That's why I'm doing this interview.
The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
It's a deal that few have even heard of.
It's being done again by very few people at the very top on behalf of the investment class, but the working class of people, political officials across our country from communities, they don't know anything about this.
Dining over Thanksgiving and maybe watching some football games, big government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the Army into domestic law enforcement. Senator Lindsey Graham, who supports this bill, says, quote, "The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not."
Passed tomorrow a bill allowing the American military to imprison American citizens indefinitely without charge or trial.
Congress is essentially authorizing the indefinite imprisonment of American citizens without charge or trial.
Charles Dyer, I'm an oath keeper. I'm the 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion out of Camp Pendleton, California. I can't imagine that we're living in a time where I have to worry about having to confiscate the weapons from the American people. Is that freedom? It's absolutely not freedom. That I have to worry that we're gonna quarantine a city for the purposes of keeping them there hostage, like Katrina? Absolutely not. That's not freedom in any way that you can think of it. I'm almost speechless whenever I try to talk about this because I can't imagine that we're living in this kind of time. It really bothers me. Absolutely.
We need a painted picture of what is happening in this country. Let's recognize how history repeats itself. In February 1933, Hitler staged a false flag attack, burning down his own German parliament building, the Reichstag, and blamed it on communists. In the next few weeks, he passed the Enabling Act, which completely eradicated the German constitution, destroying people's liberties. He then led a series of preemptive wars, all justified to the German people as necessary to maintaining homeland security. It's time to wake up.
Hey, and welcome back to the latest edition of New World Out of Order. What we're going to talk about this time is the new intro for the podcast. We actually debuted that intro last podcast on the 9/11, the Pentagon. But we just put it together while we were doing the final editing on that podcast. So this particular podcast, we're going to talk about it. Hopefully you've listened to the little clips that we've included in that intro, and hopefully it has raised some concern and some curiosity. The very first clip in the intro is that of a guy named Aaron Russo. Aaron Russo was a Hollywood movie producer, is what he was mainly known for. He produced movies such as Trading Places, Wise Guys, The Rose. And in his earlier career, he actually was he actually owned a nightclub, I believe, and he managed some bands. He managed like Manhattan Transfer. He managed Bette Midler, and I think he also had some management responsibilities with people like Janis Joplin, Led Zeppelin, The Grateful Dead, The Who. So he was a pretty well known guy in the entertainment circles. Well, Aaron was, he befriended a guy named Nick Rockefeller. And, of course, Nick Rockefeller is part of the infamous Rockefeller family, the banking family. During their friendship, they would they got pretty close and would talk about a lot of different things. And one of the things that they talked about, this is what he is referring to in the clip, was one evening, I believe Nick was over at Aaron's house for supper, and he was telling him about how there was going to be an event. Now, this occurred the year 2000, but it was 11 months before the 9/11 attack. And Nick Rockefeller told Aaron that there was going to be an event, and this event was going to cause the country to enter a war on terrorism, which there is no enemy and there is no end to the war. It's a never-ending war. He also said it was going to cause us to invade Iraq and Afghanistan. And then, 11 months later, 9/11 happened. That's when it really sunk into Aaron that, hey, wait a minute, this guy was, he was telling the truth here. How did he know about this? And Aaron kind of switched gears, and he became an activist, and he started looking into what was going on here, found out a lot of the stuff that I've learned in the recent years, and he made a movie about it. He made a movie called America, Freedom to Fascism. It's a good movie. You need to check it out. He discloses a lot of good information there. Particularly, he's concentrating on the IRS, the tax system. Most people will find a lot of this very interesting because the tax system, the income tax system in our country is currently illegal. I know that if you read the Constitution, the 16th Amendment, says that it's legal for the government to collect, income tax on people. But what most people don't know, and what I didn't know until about a year ago, was the 16th Amendment was never officially legally ratified. Not really going to go into a lot of details here, but there's a lot of information out there that you can check out and understand why that I'm saying this, but it was never officially ratified. It didn't have the enough votes to be ratified. The votes that it did get, there was an investigation to find out that those votes were fraudulently obtained. They weren't real. Those votes were actually changed. So anyway, that the 16th Amendment is illegal. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not advocating for anyone to not pay their taxes. I think it's everybody's responsibility to pay their fair share of taxes, but there again, the fair share is the key point there. I think what the current rate of taxation is outrageous. If you look at the amount of money that the federal government brings in and the types of expenditures that they have, it's crazy. We can get by with a lot less taxation and still have a very, very well-financed government. But anyway, that's getting off topic just a little bit. But back to Aaron Russo, the movie's very good. He also concentrates in the movie on the Federal Reserve System. We've already done a podcast on that, and hopefully everybody knows by now the Federal Reserve System is a just absolutely corrupt, one of the most sinister movements ever deployed against people of the world. I can't say just America, because it's everywhere. That type of banking system is all across the world now. But anyway, he concentrated primarily on the IRS and Federal Reserve System. Aaron Russo, he died back in 2007. He died of actual bladder cancer. Between 2001 and 2007, Aaron Russo did a lot of good. He got a lot of people exposed to what's going on. And anyway, that's what part of that clip is. That clip was from an interview with InfoWars, in which he was telling about the conversations that he had with Nick Rockefeller. Okay, the next one is actually Lou Dobbs, who was used to be a reporter for CNN. This story was broadcast in 2005. Lou Dobbs was the only reporter with major media that reported this story. And that story was about President Bush signing the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement with Canada and Mexico. What this agreement does is it lays the groundwork for the North American Union. Now, the North American Union, people who are unaware, this is an extremely important topic if you love your country, if you want to retain your country. The North American Union is a movement that started probably 15, maybe even 20 years ago, to actually dissolve the United States of America and meld it with Canada and Mexico. And there again, Canada will be dissolved, Mexico will be dissolved, United States will be dissolved, and they'll be brought together. Now, they'll actually be brought together first. It's already happening. They'll be brought together, and then over time, borders for commerce, borders for commerce regulation, there'll be borders for laws. As they are dissolved, then after a while, countries itself, which there's not going to be much, you know, autonomy left in these countries, they're going to be just melted together. So, and this is on the heels of the European Union. The, you know, this is all something that the Council on Foreign Relations, this is their primary goal. You know, they're trying to install the one world government, and which is, you know, New World Order, which they now call globalization. There's going to be, you know, there's already the European Union, and they are having difficulties with the European Union right now. There's planned an Asian Union and an African Union as well. But anyway, as far as the North American Union, it's well on its way. 2005, that SPP was signed. If you just wonder, all of the news stories about illegal immigrants and securing the borders and the federal government suing Arizona for their immigration laws, it just doesn't make sense to you. In other words, the federal government says that they want to secure our borders, that they're against illegal aliens, but what they actually do does not support that. They do not secure the borders. They pass laws that actually make it easier for illegal immigrants to enter this country. Once they're in this country, it allows them to prosper off of government-supplied benefits, such as, you know, health care, and they also get some Social Security benefits without paying into the system as well. They get medical benefits and things like that. Now, there again, I'm not against any ethnic group, any country, or anybody. In fact, if any Mexicans or anybody from South America, anybody from any country in the world wants to come to America, I don't have a problem with it because of where they're from or who they are. I don't. Come into this country and obtain your status legally. And that's the way it is. If Americans go to other countries, they have to do that. I mean, people look around. If you enter Iran illegally, you'll go to jail. If you enter Korea illegally, you're going to go to jail. If you enter practically any other country, you're going to be deported. You're going to be jailed. You're not going to be taken care of like you are in America. With the federal government, actually, you know, their actions actually support immigration of illegals coming into this country. You know, their words say they're against it, their actions actually support it. So if you think about that, and then now that you're aware of the North American Union coming, it starts to make sense, doesn't it? It's a slow process. The people that are behind this, they understand it's a slow process. They word things and they arrange things to happen so that Americans are okay with it. They're accepting towards it. And as far as, you know, allowing the illegal immigrants to stay in the country and actually encourage more to come, that's just their way of Americans getting used to Mexicans. Of course, now with Canadians, there's really no difference in Americans and Canadians. Anyway, it's a very sad situation. It really is. It needs to be stopped. There's actually a website called Stop the North American Union. A lot of people say, well, what can I do? You know, what can we do to stop it? Well, there's many sources of information out here on the North American Union. Just, you know, go check them out. One of the ones I'm just going to recommend, I'm not saying it's the best one or anything, but that is Stop the North American Union, because you can get a lot of background there. You can get a lot of current information as it comes in on the North American Union and the latest movements towards it. And you can also get information on what you can do to help stop it. So that's why I'm promoting that website, Stop the North American Union. The next clip in the intro was news articles talking about the Congress passing the latest National Defense Authorization Act. Every year, Congress has to pass the National Defense Authorization Act. This has been happening for about 50 years now. This is the way that Congress makes it legal for the military to get their money. This is the military's budget being submitted and approved by Congress, is through the National Defense Authorization Act. So it's not like it's a new bill that's being passed, but this particular one, the one for 2012, fiscal year 2012, brought up a lot of controversy because there's no other way to word it than that they actually were sneaking this into the bill. Is the authority for the military to imprison American citizens indefinitely for no reason? Officially, they have to say that they have to be suspected of being a terrorist. Well, people, you can go out here and suspect anybody of being anything. This bill, and it has passed now, will allow our military to arrest and detain American citizens indefinitely without charge or trial. Now, Ron Paul, in his talks before Congress about this bill, he laid it out plain and simple. This makes martial law legal. And that's what it's leading to. That's exactly what it's leading to here. People, think about this. Do you want our military to be able to imprison American citizens indefinitely? In other words, what this says is that, you know, the military can come to your house at any time and arrest you for no reason. And I mean you. I don't mean the bad coke dealer down the street or Muhammad, the Muslim that lives around the corner or whatever. No, no. They can come arrest you for any reason that they want and imprison you for as long as they want with no trial. Now, you need to take this seriously. You know, you can't sit here and just say, well, they're only going to do that for the bad guys. No. That's why they're passing these laws. They've already got laws in place that will help them retain the bad guys. No, that's not what this is for. This is for, as Ron Paul said, this is making martial law legal. In other words, they're actually able to declare martial law now without declaring martial law. It's a very, very, very serious subject. It has been passed. There again, this is a annual act. Now, this part of the bill, it just needs to be rescinded. There was a couple of people in there that was reporters. There was two reporters in there reporting the story. There was also a Congressman, Dianne Feinstein, was on there. You need to check that out. You need to be aware this is happening. The next one was actually a Marine from Camp Pendleton out in California. And you notice the first thing he says was, when he introduces himself, he introduces himself as a military officer with his rank, and he also says, I'm an oath keeper. Well, if you're not familiar with oath keepers, I highly, highly encourage you to look this up on the internet. Oathkeepers.org, I believe. It's either .com or .org. Oath keepers is an organization put together, I believe it was back in about 2007, and it's as a result of what all is going on in America today. What the Oath Keepers mission is primarily for current and veterans of military service. They promise to uphold their oath. You know, when you go into military service, you have to take oaths to protect and defend the Constitution against all, you know, foreign and domestic enemies. This is a reaffirmation in the military people to really commit to upholding that oath. They have a list of like 10 things that they will not do. And of course, they start off and say, we will not disarm American citizens. They're people, they see what's going on. And I'm just so encouraged by this because in my own studies here, learning about what's going on and what the end goal is and how they're actually going to plan to get there. You know, one of the things that became very, very obvious to me was in order to prepare to stop this, what we'd like to do is change it. We'd like to actually change it through, you know, legislation, okay? That's going to be very, very difficult to do right now. That's the way we need to do it. But in the meantime, the elite people who are doing this, Council on Foreign Relations primarily, they have already changed and circumvented the Constitution enough to where if they wanted to, they could declare martial law right now. They can round up any citizen that they want to. The first thing that we need to do is to make sure that our military and our law enforcement are made aware of what's going on. They have to truly understand what's going on because they're going to get the orders for the martial law or to come in and detain citizens and stuff. And that's why it's so, so important for organizations like Oath Keepers, you know, to come into existence and to be supported by us. Oath Keepers, it seems to be a very, very good movement. It really does. Now, you can join Oath Keepers as a non-military person as well. I'm a member of Oath Keepers. I'm not a military person. You're an associate member. I think it's $20 or maybe it's $40 a year to join Oath Keepers. They'll keep you abreast of a lot of political activity that you're not going to get in the mainstream media, you know, the type of stuff that I'm talking about in my podcast here. But you'll have that information delivered to you daily or weekly in newsletters to your email address. If you join, I highly encourage you to join this and also, you know, to read their newsletters as they come out because they're extremely informative, things that you won't hear on your news on TV. Anyway, this Marine is from Camp Pendleton. He's a member of Oath Keepers. And he's just being interviewed and telling how essentially dismayed he is that at the time that he is living in within this country to where he might be ordered to go and disarm and detain American citizens. And he's just absolutely put out with it. And if you think about it, every military person should be. You know, you've got to open your eyes. I know that you've got to follow orders, but you've got to open your eyes, okay? You're only going to follow orders if it's the right thing to do. And there again, you're not going to follow orders that are going to cause you to violate the Constitution or someone's rights as granted by the Constitution. So that's why I thought it was important to include him, because Oath Keepers is a very, very important movement. If you talk about a lot of people sit here and hear about all these issues and go like, well, you know, what can I do? What can I do? Well, here's another thing that you can do. You can get involved with Oath Keepers. Sign up. Join up with them. Get involved in any local chapters if you have any local chapters around you. This is what you can do. This is just one of the ways that you can do things. The other ways is like the other groups that I mentioned before, We the People. GiveMeLiberty.org and WeThePeople.org. It's essentially the same group. Get involved with those people. They're trying to defend the Constitution. It's what everybody says, you know, hey, you believe in this country, you believe in the Constitution, but when anybody mentions the fact that our government might be trying to circumvent the Constitution and actually invalidate it, which is what they're trying to do, everybody just reacts so, you know, no way, it just can't happen. You're kidding. You got to be crazy, you know. You're a conspiracy theorist, you know. You're a successful victim of their controlling the media, the mainstream media. You can't do that. You got to just stay aware of what's going on. Okay, the last clip in the intro was from guy that produced the Zeitgeist films, he's essentially talking about the false flag that Hitler did. Now, this is one thing you need to think about. This is where you need to use common sense, people. Go back and look at, you know, the situation in Germany with the rise of Hitler. And I'm not even, you know, assuming that you even know much about it. Now, most of us don't know much about it. You know, what we were taught in school, you know, we were taught a little bit about it. And then what we learned, we probably forgot by now. So everybody knows that Hitler came into power. He was trying for world dominance. But the way he came into power is he actually created a false flag. In other words, he had an agenda in order he wanted to do something. And in order to be successful or to put that agenda into operation, he needed the people to be on his side. So what, you know, a false flag is you're actually creating a situation. It's usually an attack on your country, and you falsely accuse someone else of doing it. You lay the blame on someone else. And that way the citizens, your public, gets behind you, and they get enraged at this enemy. So, and that's what Hitler did. You know, Hitler actually, I think it was about a week before his the elections, and he burnt down, or he had the parliament building burnt down. It's called the Reichstag. And he blamed it on communist Russians. And, of course, Germany just rose up, just incited. All of a sudden, everyone hated communist Russians. And they were 100% behind Hitler. Absolutely. What Hitler did was he installed some laws which invalidated their constitution. It wiped out all of their rights, the people's rights. And then he formed, you know, some special military and law enforcement groups, the SS, and this is for the protection of homeland security, and that is the terms that he used. It was for homeland security. You know, I've already talked to you in previous podcast about the 9/11 situation. People, the 9/11 situation was a false flag. There's no doubt. It's proven. If you haven't, you know, listened to the podcast or listened to them, go out there on Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Check it out. 9/11 was a false flag operation in order to get the people of the United States incited, absolutely pissed off enough to where they would accept a war in the Middle East, and actually a war on terror, because, you know, you get a war on terror is a never-ending war. Now, for these people, you know, the way that the military-industrial complex is a huge, huge cash machine. The war on terror doesn't have an ending. It doesn't have a specific enemy that can be fighting anybody that they say they're going to fight. So 9/11, it awakened the people, it united the people, and it got the people behind the president. Now, what they did was, I think it was within like 2 weeks, okay, of the 9/11 attack. The 300 and roughly 50-page Patriot Act was submitted to Congress. That's about the fastest I've ever seen Congress work. Can you imagine that? They put together that bill in about 10 days, 2 weeks. Something kind of tells me, common sense tells me, that was probably already written. And it actually was already written. And, of course, what the Patriot Act did is it did exactly what Hitler did. It nullified a lot of the freedoms and rights that were granted to you by the Constitution. It circumvented a large majority of the Constitution. And so now we've got this war on terror, never-ending war on terror. That's what, you know, the last clip in the intro was about. It's just telling people to wake up here. Everybody's heard the old saying, those who fail to study history are destined to repeat it. Well, we're actually repeating it right now. Just look at the Hitler situation and just realize that, hey, you've got to understand, the people of Germany, were they just stupid, totally stupid, you know, naive people? No, they weren't stupid. They were naive, just like we are right now. Trusted their government. They allowed them to slowly do things that allowed a person such as Hitler to come into power. And that's exactly what's happening over here. Trust our government way too much. And we were told when this country was formed by the founders to never, never trust your government. They went to extreme measures to make sure that our government was one that would be very difficult, you know, to take over, essentially turn into a tyrannical society. That's the reason for the intro, a little bit of history behind it. Appreciate you guys listening. Please share this with your friends. Let them tune in. You know, I would love to have the listeners and any comments on the website. nworld03.podomatic.com is the podcast website. Main website is nwo3.com/blog, nwo3.com/blog. The main goal here is to get people made aware of what's going on. It's very important. It's extremely, extremely important. Anyway, use common sense, people. Appreciate you listening. Like I say, tell all your friends about this. Look it up. Get involved. Join the Oath Keepers. Go in there and join up with GiveMeLiberty.org. It's just, it's extremely important. So appreciate it, guys. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time.